Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
It's a day the Lord has made. We have energy in our bodies. We have blood streaming through our veins. We have intelligence. We have the gift of speech, the ability to communicate with one another. And we have an enormous amount of work to do. You hear Zuckerberg? I don't think censoring platforms to solve censorship is necessarily the right way to go. Well, that's what Trump's going to do, bud. What the president's going to do is to call out what you are, which is you're a publisher. You're just like local television stations, just like me. I can get in big trouble if I libel someone or if I slander someone. I can be destroyed. You can't. Well, I think that's going to change. I think that's going to change, Mark. I think that's what the president is talking about. I certainly don't want the government involved in making content decisions in any way. I've fought against that my entire life. I'll fight against it no matter who the president is. So there's a lot of work to do there. So Zuckerberg was just speaking with Fox News, or at least Fox News has the sound of Zuckerberg speaking. I don't know that he actually, blessed them with his robotic presence. But he did say this, and the president's, you know, he's serious about this. And look, Twitter's meddling in this election. There's no doubt. And Twitter was backpedaling yesterday. They were backpedaling on their fact check. They had to go edit it a bunch of times because it turns out their facts weren't all that facty when they were talking about mail-in voting. This is what Zuckerberg just said.
I think a government choosing to censor a platform because they're worried about censorship doesn't exactly strike me as the right reflex there.
Ooh, that's clever, because you're calling it a reflex because it's not really thought. It's all emotional. Boy, that's clever, Mark. You're a good thinker. You got a good brain. That's not what the president's going to do. We have so much work to do. We've got to get to this. We'll get to this in the election inclusion watch. I'll tell you about the founder, co-founder of Wikipedia, what he says about Wikipedia. He tells the truth. We have much more work to do now. I need you to hear the words of Susie Levin. She's the woman who let the Nigerian scamsters have free reign.
Less tweeting here, a little more listening.
I heard Donald Trump say that testing was overrated. I about went through the roof. Well, what I stand against is the moral outrage of this international conspiracy that turned the virus of COVID into the virus of crime.
Man, the lack of self-awareness of this guy is nutty. Absolutely nutty. How can you, in any form of good conscience, sit there and say that they turned this into crime? They're criminals. You, Jay Inslee, have let criminals run free. And you're using COVID as an excuse. Incredible. Lack of self-awareness, and the media doesn't call him on this. Call him on that. Governor, you said that they turned this into a crime spree. You let criminals out. They've committed crimes. You're turning it into a crime spree, bud. I addressed the media in a blog. I addressed my friends and former friends in the media, and I have pleaded with them to wake up. Jay Inslee has his foot on the neck of Washington State. Washington State can't breathe. There are those of us standing by saying, hey, my friend is losing his house. He can't breathe. Hey, my buddy runs a gym. This is costing him $50,000 a month. He's using CDC guidelines. His gym is 1,000% cleaner than QFC. Can he open? He can't breathe. And Jay Inslee is standing there just like that cop who murdered George Floyd. It's not the same intimacy. It doesn't seem as immediate, but I will point to the numbers from Yakima. Suicides are up 30%. You think those people were breathing freely and relaxed? I don't think so. Susie Levin gave a talk, a TEDx talk about failure. This is the woman who pretended to run employment security. This is a woman with a background in data storage who had no anti-fraud techniques that are common in commercial software turned on. And she gave a talk a few years ago when she was an ambassador, which is a position you pay to get, by the way. Those are pay-to-play positions. She was an ambassador to Sweden. Tough gig. Here she is at part of this TEDx talk, which, by the way, this is the, if you would like to see the most insipid 8 minutes of someone on stage, where even the audience is like, why are you here?
Before
watch
I left,
Susie Levin.
A couple of my friends who are VCs, venture capitalists, said to me, for startups, fail fast and fail cheaply. Now, I don't know if they were talking about my position as ambassador or about startups, but we'll see it by the end of my talk.
Awkward non-laughter. Susie, your venture capital friends, did they say, when you're under a massive new load of unemployment claims, turn off the fraud prevention measure that makes people wait to get their unemployment check? Make people wait for what time, or for a week before they get their unemployment check, so that the system is not overloaded, and so we can actually confirm that it's not fraud? Or did they say, turn that off and just let people start receiving money, don't check on it, don't make any attempts to confirm it for 6 weeks? Which one? Because I'm going to guess the venture capitalists probably say, you know what? Before you let people take $200 million, why don't you use some fraud prevention techniques? Susie Levin's insipidity continues.
Raise your hand, please, if you know somebody or if you yourself have experienced a business failure or an academic failure, something like that. Raise your hand.
Maybe like letting Nigerian scamsters steal $200 million. Raise your hand, Sue. Raise your hand.
So it's a pretty good group here in terms of having that experience, and pretty, I'm impressed, shall I say. In the United States, there's no stigma associated with it. It would be almost 100% of the people who would raise their hands who have or know somebody who has experienced it. There's no stigma.
Oh, I see. She talked about some keys to failure, how to deal with it. She gave the inspiring example, you've probably never heard this before, of people who'd failed and rose again. Did you know Abe Lincoln failed? Yeah. Susie Levin turned the audience onto this. Such wisdom. And she talked about some other keys to dealing with failure. The woman who let Nigerian scamsters steal $200 million from you.
And the other key thing here is it's not just about the individuals who are creating businesses or who are creating stuff. It's also about those who are funding it and fueling it.
Okay, that's us. She's talking about venture capitalists. We funded the employment security division through state taxes. We funded the money that went to the employment security division through letting Trump borrow that from China and Japan and pension plans and letting the Treasury print money, invent it like the Weimar Republic. We let that happen. Okay? Listen to Susie Levin.
So let's say you were a funder, an investor in something, and you happen.
Let's say that.
To have an investment that failed. In the United States, you wouldn't necessarily be seen as a failure yourself. In fact, a number of the investors that I know will look at a portfolio of 10 businesses and say, I expect 5 to 7 of them to fail. And in fact, I hope that one of them is a major success. And this is across the board when you talk to venture capitalists and what they expect in the United States. Pretty amazing statistic that way.
Point me to the success of Jay Inslee. To one success. Western State Hospital, $46 million in federal funding, gone. I-5 is crumbling. The biggest cities in Washington State have invited homeless people and mentally ill people and people addicted to drugs to live as VIPs. Crime is up. Rape is up at record highs in Seattle. Gang crimes are up at record highs in Seattle. Secondly, and lastly, Susie Levin, we didn't choose to give you that money, friend. That's taken from us. There's a difference between people who are forced to give money and people who chose to. Can you believe this woman pretends to run the Employment Security Division? And it's affecting real people.
How much is enough? How big does this pile have to be?
One party rule has run rampant in Washington State.
And when you do those progressive things, what you get is tremendous economic growth.
To urgently pass a strong tax on the largest businesses.
The Todd Herman Show asks, what did it cost you?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to the Trump stuff coming up. I bet the president's going to make a statement. I bet you. When he's tweeting like this about social media, I don't want you to be concerned. We're going to track that as well. But I'm staying on Jay Inslee. I am staying on this guy. I want to be one of the community members saying, look, folks can't breathe, Jay Inslee. They can't breathe. We're going to look at the local side of this and real people. All right. It is Todd Herman's show. We take a different approach to some of this stuff, particularly now that Jay Inslee's shutdown is an evident swindle. And anybody who is looking at any of the data can see no reason for the schools to be shut, no real reason for the lockdown to continue. And then the surprising fact that people in the healthcare world have been harmed by this, having lost their jobs, then double down on this. The Nigerian scam, a sloppy swindle that off-the-shelf commercial software would have flagged and prevented. But, of course, Jay Inslee's employee, Susie Levin, with a background in tech, couldn't be bothered to do such things at the Employment Security Division of Washington State. Kat joins us on the Todd Herman Show. Kat, welcome. You've been around in this thing. Like you've been in the healthcare field, etc.
Yeah.
So yeah, welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of got nailed by all of it.
Yeah. So you are a nurse, correct?
I am a geriatric nurse with 10 years of experience.
And did you find, so tell people about what happened to you first of all in the wake of COVID-19 as a geriatric nurse.
So I recently had been attempting to renew my nursing license, and I had to take a refresher course, which I did. I had to take a test, which I passed, and then I had to do 3 weeks of clinicals on top of my 10 years of experience, mind you, and COVID shut everything down. Well, no, I'm sorry. Inslee shut everything down, yeah. And so here I sit on unemployment.
So here we are we have the most at-risk population in our society are people 70 years of age and older. If you're below 70, we've talked to Stanford physicians and professors who indicate that below the age of 70, your risk is less than the flu. They, I assume, need people in there, and you can't get moved forward into, you wanted to get into the fight to help protect these older patients, correct?
I did. I actually went on a whole letter writing campaign begging, because it's traumatic for me as a nurse to sit on the sidelines when I could be in there.
And I think the media took notice of you, didn't they, that you were someone who wanted into the battle?
Yes, I did. Actually, one of a reporter at the Tacoma News Tribune was kind enough to do an article on it.
All right. So you've been noticed by the media, and this is a great, great story. Here's a woman with 10 years of experience as a geriatric nurse. She wants to get into the battle. She understands the risk, but she's willing to go in and help these elderly people because I assume you're a geriatric nurse for 10 years because you love it. But now the things that, you know, Inslee's put in place have blocked you from that. You can't get into the battle. Therefore, have you been earning an income?
I have not.
All right. So what? How long has this gone on?
You want the whole story, Todd? So I applied.
I want to know right. How bad this has been for you. How challenging? Yeah.
So I applied back in March. I went a little over 2 months of hearing absolutely nothing, which is actually when I started learning how to use Twitter and, you know, petitions and things like that. And then after over 2 months, they contacted me. And they said, hey, so there's a problem on your account. The license number, driver's license number you've given us does not match what we have from the DMV. And so I pulled my license out and we checked it over the phone. And the problem was they had my license listed as WDI, the first three letters, but it's a state standard. It has to be WDL.
Okay. So this was now, you were alerted to the fact that apparently you are a victim of this scam mob who was only able to institute. No, you're not.
No,
okay, you're not.
So I wasn't a victim. I'm a valid claimant.
All right. But you're being victimized because you can't get in and get unemployment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Traumatically victimized.
So the Nigerian scam goes down again. Just I can't emphasize this enough. A subscription to something like Barracuda or some back end off the shelf security devices would have noticed right away. Wait a minute. Yop Mail. No, we don't use those. These are new email addresses. We don't use those. Hey, wait a minute. Why are a whole bunch of people sending money to the same bank account? We wouldn't have done that. Those things would have been flagged. This would have been stopped. It went on for 6 weeks before they ever asked a question. But now unemployment is shut down and it's flooded, and flooded partly by scammers, and you can't get any money. So what does this mean for you personally?
I mean, first off, it's maddeningly crazy, okay? 5 weeks ago, I offered, hey, ESD, let me send you a copy of my ID, my driver's license, to show you it's right. And they told me, quote, oh, no, that is not necessary. 5 weeks ago, I did that. Now, fast forward, no money for anybody. I mean, weeks upon weeks upon weeks, we are humans, we are mothers, we are fathers, we have bills and food, and we're victimized. Our money is being held hostage because Susie Levine and Governor Inslee, who are silent, they messed up, and now our money is held hostage.
So here's Kat. She wanted to work, get back into being a geriatric nurse. Nope, sorry. Bureaucratically, we can't let that happen. Excuse, COVID-19. So Kat turns. You've been working for years. You've paid into unemployment. It's money that you have helped bank. So you're going to tap some of that. And you've turned out, no, we can't give you that because there's one letter missing in your driver's license. You offer, say, okay, I'll send you a copy of my driver's license. Nope. 5 weeks ago. So I hate to ask this. I mean, what does this mean for your living? What's at risk for you? What stage you're at? Are you at the stage of mortgage going on the credit card? Or are you at the stage of going to food banks? Where are you at with this?
I'm at a stage where losing my home, my children's home, is a serious possibility. Pausing evictions does not mean people aren't going to be evicted at some point. It's going to happen if you can't pay. I have gone to a food bank and pleasantly surprised at how much help was there. But I think that that's a whole nother system that we're straining because we're not paying the money. That's mine. That's my money.
And
so far, it's devastated. And
an employment security division has nothing to say to you.
Absolutely nothing. No comment. And it's really interesting to me because I found this huge group of people who are unfortunately victims just like me. And, you know, we connect and we talk and we support each other. I have met a mother who just had to move her three children into her van. She's already lost her house. She was using her unemployment to pay for a weekly hotel and she doesn't have it. There were tons of people like me in the same position, and they all said, hey, how can we get you money? We don't have money hardly at all either because we're not getting paid. But you know what? The humanity there, it's amazing. And I don't understand how our own governor doesn't have that humanity.
So I'm going to ask, what area of the Puget Sound do you live in? Because I'm going to put a call in to your state representative and state senator, who should be all over getting you help. So what part of the Puget Sound do you live in?
I live in Pierce County, Puyallup. So, and I appreciate that because that was something else that I kind of wondered about. I had sent, you know, emails out back in my you know, nursing license problems to our senators and all of these people, representatives. And I got quite a few, like, just generic letters about, hey, look at me. I passed the CARES Act, right? Like, great. You passed the CARES Act, but but look at it now. Where are they now? You got it passed, and it's being misused. Where are you now? Where's your voice?
Yeah. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want to reach out to Senator Steve O'Bannon, who I know, and who I know to be a very, very good guy. I want to reach out to him and see what he can make happen and what trees he can shake as a state senator, and to do this on your behalf, because he should be. Be made aware of this and these people that you've encountered, because your story represents, it's got to represent a couple hundred thousand people at this point. Sadly,
absolutely,
it does. Nigerians got their money. Kat didn't get yours. And secondly, maybe Steve can help you get your certificate, because given the choice, do you want the unemployment or do you want to work?
I want to work. I'm a nurse. I was born to be a nurse. It's who I am.
Right. So that's what we're going to try to do. We'll get in touch with Steve O'Bannon and see what he can do to weigh in to help. And I want you, let's talk offline about how bad this is and where this is at. And we'll see if we can put together some help on our side. I certainly don't. I will not stand by and see you evicted from your home. I will not see your kids taken from their home. So let's see what we can do on the side on that.
So much.
And we'll put in a call to Steve O'Bannon and see what we can do about this. So we'll make that happen. Kat joined us on the Todd Herman Show. I sure appreciate you coming on, Kat. Thanks very much. And I'm very sorry. And I'm angry that this is happening to you. So we'll do what we can to help. Election Collusion Watch is next on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTA. Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Man, it's a busy day, isn't it? I want to thank Kat for coming on with us. I did reach out to Steve O'Bannon. I haven't heard back yet, but I did put a call in to Steve O'Bannon to see if he can help her. And to have a geriatric nurse of 10 years not able to go back to work right now. Meanwhile, not a single government employee who works for Jay Inslee has been furloughed, not a one. Meanwhile, the city of Edmonds, King 5 News reported this morning, the city of Edmonds is paying government workers hazard pay to stay home in their homes, to stay in their houses. It's hazardous for them to stay in their houses. They're getting overtime. Jay Inslee announced yesterday that the Employment Security Department, instead of working triple overtime to get money to people and to try to get this $200 million back, Jay Inslee has hired 500 new people, wants to hire a couple hundred more. They're hiring. They have a pay raise on the way. State workers are scheduled for a pay raise that Jay Inslee could cancel, but he won't. Because Jay Inslee doesn't care about anything but continuing the pressure. He simply doesn't. And I'd love someone to tell me that you see signs that he cares. Richard from Everett, what really bothers me about how the media reports COVID-19 tests is the lack of important information. How many positive or were asymptomatic? How many hospitalized and what age group? Richard from Everett, that's exactly right. They report cases. And then there's this. We'll get to this next hour. Como News had a reporter ask someone from the Washington State Health Department, hey, are you using the inflated numbers? Are you still counting as COVID deaths people who were shot and people who didn't die from COVID? And the lady says, yeah, we're still counting that. You know who else is? Como News. They're still reporting the numbers inflated by 13% from the 910 on the text line, 800-465-8770. Todd, you played a clip from King Inslee this morning that said the state is responsible for the safety of Washingtonians. Does that mean the state can be sued if Inslee doesn't keep us safe? I'd be happy to sign an affidavit that releases the state from liability for my safety. Oh, that's great. I like that. Earlier, someone from the 360 called texted to take me to task because I haven't done anything. That all I do is talk, apparently. 360, good for you that you're in a financial position to stand up. Try seeing it from this point. If I don't wear one, I don't have a job. I don't feed my kids. I don't have a proposal. It was a question I asked we as a community, not at Utah. Okay, so you're saying not wearing a mask is going to cost you your job. That's the decision you have to make. to make. Okay, if it's at your place of employment and your employer's telling you you have to wear one there, it's their property. They're paying you. But outside of there, walking around the streets, we have got to say no to the government telling us to wear a sign of loyalty. That's what Fauci described. It's a symbol of what we should be doing. He admits they don't work. Weeks ago, look, they might stop a droplet, but they're not the protection people think they are. And they might have negative side effects. Night Mike on the text line. Good morning, Todd. I can relate to your experience with your family yesterday when listening to NC's press conference, as I experienced the same thing with my wife. Her response was, I don't want to hear it anymore. And my wife didn't have that response, Night Mike, but she definitely had the, I got to leave. I have to leave. I cannot listen to Jay Inslee lie to the people of Washington State. Let's look into election collusion on the national.
We are the watchdogs over the lapdog media. We'll keep track of their efforts to collude with the Democrats to steal this election.
You are fake news.
This is the Election Collusion Watch.
So you saw the death, the murder of George Floyd. Have you seen this? These are people who were allowed to wear badges and guns and were allowed to call themselves police officers who slowly and methodologically choked a man to death. And it's on video. And he was handcuffed. And there's no excuse. And I won't accept any excuses. Likewise, the media is going to play this on loop through the election. I have no idea if those cops are racists. I have no idea. I don't. Maybe they're sadists. That looks sadistic to me. If they're racist, they're racist, and it's worse. Okay? Still a dead man. The media will play this on loop. Candace Owens said on Twitter, she called this out. The media doesn't want justice for George Floyd. They didn't care about justice for Eric Garner. They want black Americans enraged and impoverished to elect their politicians. She's calling out the media for what they are. They're using this as a way, and they will tie it to Trump. Today, you will start to hear them tying these cops, murdering this man to Trump. They're going to do that today. So you'll see that turn. And I like Candace Owens calling it out, and I'm thankful for that. And people will accuse me now of a whataboutism. And that's okay, because I'm going to do a longer segment on this tomorrow. There was a case of an Australian tourist in Minneapolis who reported a rape behind her building. She walked down to meet the police in her bathrobe. I mean, her nightgown. Nightgown. Where are you hiding the gun in a nightgown? And she walked up to the driver's side window. There's the cop who's driving. He's an experienced cop. In the passenger seat is a Somali cop, completely inexperienced, got to skip a bunch of steps in training. He pulls his gun from inside the car and shoots the woman. And she died. That's never run in the media. Minneapolis media barely covered it. And this is to Candace Owens' point. The murder of George Floyd is horrendous. It's cold, it's methodical, it's chilling, it's indefensible. So was the killing of this woman. And the media, of course, will select one over the other. Ilhan Omar, who the media loves, she hangs out with, what's her name, PayPal, the woman who pretends to be a representative. What's her name? Pramila? PayPal? She raises money and she goes on MSNBC. That's what Pramila PayPal does. So Ilhan Omar's daughter was on Twitter when Ivanka Trump launches a perfume line and speaks to the power of women in business, the Me Too crowd goes nuts. The media says, how dare she speak to the power of women? Her father is Donald Trump. He hates women. He abuses women. Ilhan Omar's daughter last night was retreating a list of supplies for who she called comrades. These were not the protesters. I join in the protests of the killing of George Floyd. For all the talk we've done quite reasonably and quite correctly over the past 8 weeks about Jay Inslee's boot on our neck and his destruction of the economy and his cold, callous, absolute refusal to care about people's lives. He doesn't care. It's evident when a gym takes 1,000 times more steps to be clean than a QFC, and Jay Inslee sends Sideshow Bob over there to put his tiny little shoe in the throat of a gym owner. For all that talk, we have to also look at this tyranny that, these cops employed upon George Floyd as they killed him. And to separate the riots, the media. There were some media networks that honestly reported these as riots. Thank you. But then they said they're rioting because of George Floyd. Were they? When you break into a Target and you are there with a hammer for 15 minutes trying to break into the automated, you know, checkout lanes to take the money that's in there, are you really doing that to help George Floyd? Because Target is as woke as you can get. Target bends over 5 times backwards to be woke. But the media, again, will take this and merchandise it. They never merchandised the Las Vegas killing. This guy named Eric Scott, he was coming out of a Costco. There'd been a report. It was reported to be a mass shooting event. And he was coming out of a Costco, and he was white, and the cops were white. I guess there was a cop that was black, and they shot him, and there's this huge cover-up. They went to his brother's house. It was just this mess. Never made the national news because it wasn't merchandisable. How does it feel for black Americans to know that your pain really matters to the media when they can make hay with it? How does that matter? Also, election collusion. Hillary Clinton has thanked Governor Cuomo for keeping people safe despite the nursing home deaths that he caused. Oh, he's still getting treated as some kind of hero. Then there's this from Pew Media. Oh, you want to hear how bias is done in a slick way? I shared with you yesterday that most Democrats don't know that the death rate for the virus has dropped. Most Democrats don't know. If you tell a Democrat you know that the death rate for the virus has really dropped from first projections, a good percentage of them, about 35%, will say, that's not true. That's a lie. You're lying. This is from Pew Research. Listen to this, how this is framed. COVID-19 deaths have declined in Democratic congressional districts since mid-April, but remain relatively steady in districts controlled by Republicans. So here's what the chart shows. Average number of deaths, newly reported deaths in congressional districts represented by Republicans, etc. Democrats' peak was 7.4. Independents' peak, 4.9. Republicans, 2.0. So the fact that the Democrats' districts are dropping from a high of 7.4 is communicated by Pew to say that, oh, the Democrat districts are doing a much better job. Election collusion. They're now saying that Democrats are doing a better job at handling the disease than Republican districts that have reopened. Total collusion. This is from my friend Christy Berry on Facebook. Don't be fooled by the garbage media trying to scare you. What does the data really say? Notice how they're making it sound as scary as possible when we know for certain the data is out there. Mortality rates are close to 0.26% from the CDC. And here's how they report it. Increases in COVID cases compared to 2 weeks ago. 450% increase in Montana, 111% in Alaska, 110% in Arkansas of new cases. Oh, say, are they doing a lot more testing in those states? Shameless, absolute election collusion to scare you into woke masks and voting against Trump. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with just a few more things. Back to the Todd Herman Show. That's catchy. We should use that again.
ahead in the Usyk info. We'll come back to the Todd Herman Show. Man, there's a lot to get to. I keep saying that. I feel a little bit breathless today. What? Alex, it's what? I don't even know if we have time to get through just a few more things. This might be record-setting. It's just a quick arrangement of news like items laid out into a logical and numbered order. If things aren't ordered, they could become chaotic. Let's get started.
Just a few more things.
Did I save their number? Yes, I did. Say I'm going to go fast. Going to save time. Let's get into this. This is Jerry Nadler talking about...
Thing one.
Yeah, he's talking about thing one, mail-in voting. As you know, Twitter has determined that mail-in voting is the safest thing ever invented. No fraud can occur because no one can ever steal ballots or do anything bad. Jerry Nadler, what did you say about this back in 2004?
Paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. I can show you experience which would make your head spin.
Huh, that's weird because now the Democrats are saying it's fraud-free. Now we need it for the entire nation because there's a, you know, pandemic. And we also need to release all the prisoners. We need to bring the Green New Deal about. We need to pay off the bankrupt pension plans of the state of California. We need to make college free. We need to have the government take over healthcare because of a pandemic. Oh, plus mail-in voting immediately right now everywhere. Because it's a pandemic. And, well, I mean, look, 99.8% of people will survive. And if you're under the age of 70, it's less dangerous than the flu. But, you know, I mean, we need to get these mail-in ballots done. Is the media going to call him on this? Incredible. Now, this is a compressed just a few more things because we went long.
Thing two.
So you remember when Chris Cuomo on CNN got out that great big huge replica of a Q-tip to make fun of his brother Andrew's nose? Andrew is the governor of the state of New York. He's the one who killed 4,300 people by demanding, forcing nursing homes to take in COVID-19 positive patients. Remember that? Chris Cuomo brought in that big Q-tip, yuckity, yuckity, yuck, and they laughed it up. Chris Cuomo got COVID-19 and then broke quarantine. So now he's calling other people fools.
I could show you example after example after example of people acting like fools, not just, you know, not having any sense for their own safety, but the safety of others.
You broke quarantine, steroid man. And sometimes Chris is pretty bad, but he's on a steroid cycle. Next up, just a few more things. This
thing three.
By the way, I have no evidence that Chris Cuomo takes steroids. I'm speaking as an opinion, a guess. I don't want to give him surface level to sue me. NBC describes Biden's gaffe about saying, look, if you're a woman and you won't let me sniff your hair, then you ain't a woman. Oh, sorry. No, this is when he said, if you're not voting for me, you ain't black.
And he can get rusty, like this misstep with radio host Charlamagne the God last week.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
You won't let me sniff your hair, or you ain't a woman. No, he's rusty. He's just rusty. That's all. Next up in just a few more things.
Thing four.
Joe Scarborough, as you listen to this clip, remember, this guy lives in Andrew Cuomo's New York City.
Men who survived the worst of World War II, who died over the past 3 months. The fastest killer in U.S. history. A pandemic that the president told crowds was being whipped up as a hoax.
Yeah, your governor killed 4,300 old people. We'll just keep that there. We'll come back in the top of the show.